your program as we pray our call to worship responsibly. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. How precious is your steadfast love, O God! All people may take refuge in the shadow of your wings. For with you is the fountain of life.
In your life, we see life.
Gracious God, we long to know you better. Open us to recognize your presence, to receive you fully, and to be ready to follow your leading. Amen. Please be seated. Let us now confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, whose face is hidden from us by our sin, and whose mercy we forget, cleanse us from all offenses and deliver us from proud thoughts and vain desires, that humbly we may draw near to thee, confessing our faults, confiding in thy grace, and finding in thee our refuge and our strength, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. However long we wander, however far we stray, God's steadfast love endures forever. Sisters and brothers, be assured, in Jesus Christ we are forgiven. Amen. Please stand as you are able to sing "When in Our Music God is Glorified," number 25 in your hymnal, number 25.
Thank you. Welcome to Memorial Church on this Sabbath morning. We are so glad you are here. We welcome both students and those who attend Memorial Church as our ongoing worshiping community. There are many people who contribute to the rich and spirit-filled worship experience here at Memorial Church. And at this time of Thanksgiving, we are so grateful for our remarkable musicians, our seminarians, our student ushers, and for each and every one of you who are with us this day. We give thanks to those of you who are listening to this service on the radio and through the internet. If you are in London or LA, in your car, traveling, in your living room, we feel your warmth of engagement with us this day. What a grand gathering from near and far. Our preacher this morning is Alana Copenhaver. Alana is the ministry fellow here in Memorial Church, and I have the deep privilege of ministry with her and her remarkable reach to our student community and to all of us who worship in this community and live out our faith at Memorial Church. At this time, I invite our church school teachers to come forward and collect our children for our church school program. This morning, our seminarians will be joining the children, as many of our teachers are unable to be here this day. We offer age-appropriate church school for children ages 3 through 12. This has been quite a weekend here at Harvard with our football team winning the Ivy League conference title. Some of you may be here today having attended that game. And the joy of athletic life and the spirit of community is something we celebrate in this context, this academic community. The church bulletin includes many announcements, and I note a couple of those. We will be holding morning prayers this week on Monday through Wednesday. We invite you to join us each morning at 8:45 in Appleton Chapel, and again this week it will be Monday through Wednesday. Students, just so you know, you can come to morning prayers and make it to your 9 a.m. class. Next Sunday, the Faith and Life Forum and worship will be led by John H. Finley IV, co-founder and head of the Epiphany School. We are also joining this year with the Phillips Brooks House Association for their holiday gift drive, and boxes are available in the narthex to receive your donations for families in need. And anticipating the Advent and Christmas holiday season, please note that the annual carol service will take place on December 14th at 5 o'clock and December 15th at 8 p.m. We also have our Christmas Eve service, which includes Holy Communion at 5 o'clock on the 24th. So much going on in this season of celebration and anticipation of the birth of Jesus. So we have gathered with joy this day and are drawn into community in this place. We now take a moment to turn to a neighbor and share a sign of Christ's peace. The peace of Christ be with you all. Our life is a sacred trust from God. Gratitude is abundant and full when it arises from a grateful heart. Our work here at Harvard University contributes to the deep well-being of this community, providing inspiring preaching, stirring teaching, music that is remarkable and a holy blessing, and outreach to the community that reaches to the globe. Your tithes and your offerings provide sustenance from this work. Our ushers will receive the offering from the back of the church and proceed forward. We ask that you give generously and with a grateful heart.
seated. This morning's Psalm number 100 is found under 515 in your pew Bible. We will be reading responsibly by the whole verse, page 515. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Know that the Lord is God. It is He that made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness from generation to generation.
A reading from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34, beginning at the 11th verse. For thus says the Lord, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As shepherds seek out their flock when they are among their scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from the places to which they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the watercourses, and in all the inhabited parts of the land. I will feed them with good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel shall be their pasture. They shall lie down in good grazing land, and they shall feed on rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice. Therefore, thus says the Lord to them, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you pushed with flank and shoulder and butted at all the weak animals with your horns until you scattered them far and wide, I will save my flock. And they shall no longer be ravaged, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant shepherd shall be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. Here ends the lesson.
Like a sun as dead. Thank you. reading from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 25, beginning at the 31st verse. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand, and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Here ends the lesson.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord, show us your love and mercy. In you, Lord, is our hope. Our shepherd satisfies our needs. In faith, let us praise the Lord, saying, "Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer." O Lord, our God, we pray for the church. As you made Christ head of it all, help us to live faithfully as his body, continuing his mission in the world. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, our God, we pray for the earth. Let all the earth make a joyful noise to you, a song of praise to the rock of our salvation, for you are coming to reveal a new creation. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, our God, we pray for all nations. Drive out those wolves in sheep's clothing who abuse the weak and scatter the flock. Come and save us. Bring justice and peace. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, our God, we pray for this community. Help us to see Christ among our neighbors, serving those who are hungry and thirsty, naked and lonely, sick or in prison. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, our God, we pray for loved ones. Remember the people of your pasture. Rescue the lost, bind up the broken, heal the sick, and feed those who hunger. Lord, in your mercy. Loving Shepherd, guide and lead us in green pastures and by still waters, in right paths and through dark valleys, until we feast in your glory and dwell in your house forever. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Let us now pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. Please stand as you are able to sing the sermonic hymn, Lord of all hopefulness, Lord of all joy, number 81 in your hymnal, number 81.
Good morning. Will you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and minds be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. When I was about 7 years old and my brother Todd was about five, our family moved across the country from Burlington, Vermont, to Phoenix, Arizona. If you have spent any time in these areas of the country, you know that it's hard to think of two more drastically different places. While driving around, instead of seeing the rolling green mountains lined with pine trees pass by, we saw a painted desert that went out as far as the eye could see, with a few saguaro cacti popping up here and there. We heard people speaking Spanish instead of French in the grocery store. Our dinner meals began including peppers and chilies and cilantro, a far cry from the maple syrup that my brother and I so dearly loved and missed. Our points of reference and sources of familiarity were gone. We might as well have moved to Mars. We moved from living across the street from a horse farm to the middle of a big urban metropolis. In Vermont, we had never locked the front door to our house. My brother, under the watchful eye of my mother, used to walk to his best friend's William's house that was just up the road. In Phoenix, our family had a very elaborate alarm system that we set whenever we left the house. And it didn't help that the alarm was often going off by mistake because my parents were still trying to figure out exactly how it worked. So soon after our arrival to Phoenix, my brother asked my mom, "Why did we move to where all of the bad guys live?" In Todd's eyes, we had moved to some place so drastically different, it must have been where all of the bad guys lived. Because clearly, Vermont was where all of the good guys lived. It's easy for us to dismiss Todd's conclusion as immature and naive, because at the time, he was only 5 years old wise. I, however, want to propose that his reaction, moving to Phoenix, is not too dissimilar from how we often try to understand and rationalize the world around us. We often find ourselves living in a world where we like to draw lines in the sand, build up walls, think about the world in terms of dichotomies. Good, evil, right, wrong, just, unjust. Our gospel scripture passage for today could be interpreted as a tale of dichotomy and opposition. Jesus creates this apocalyptic scene where the Son of Man, sitting on his throne, surrounded by angels, comes to earth to separate the goats from the sheep. The sheep are the ones who feed the hungry, quench the thirsty, heal the sick, visit the incarcerated, and clothe the naked. The goats do nothing to help the least of these. The King of Kings divides the nations between those who will receive eternal life and those who will receive eternal punishment. This is an often quoted and debated biblical passage among Christians. Some Christians have used this passage to proclaim God's divisive final judgment. Others are uncomfortable with the idea of God as judge. This conflicts with their understanding of a God who's ever loving, ever merciful. But I think we miss the point when we attempt to rationalize how God works in the world, when we appoint specific peoples as the ones who share God's love with the world. In college, I spent a summer in South Africa. I interned at an anti-firearms organization and lived with the host family in the heart of Johannesburg, affectionately known as Joburg. I was heartbreakingly homesick at the start of my trip. Every night was spent trying to get onto Skype so I could talk with family and friends who were back at home in the United States. Every Tuesday night, my host family would deliver food and offer medical care to people sleeping in the street. One night they asked me if I wanted to come along. This was supposed to be the summer of new adventures for me. So I said sure, despite my hesitancy of missing my nightly Skype sessions with those back home. And all too soon, I found myself standing outside a dilapidated building with two cups of soup in hand. The street was completely abandoned except for a van that I had just jumped out of. And with a nod, someone indicated that this was our stop. This forgotten building with a large hole in the wall that looked like the aftermath of a bomb going off. Standing at the entryway, I began to second guess whether this was actually a good idea. My anxiety was not helped when a fellow volunteer told me, "Be sure your back is always against the wall. The people who are here have been known to be dangerous." But then why are we going here? I kept thinking. But despite my better judgment, I counted to 10 and ducked through the hole to enter into the building. My eyes began to adjust to the darkness. There was a source of light in the back that I could vaguely see. And as I approached it, I saw it was a campfire with people huddled around it. Some of the folks began staring back at me. My face turned completely ashen. My feet were cemented to the ground. And my mind began to race. Oh no, this is a horrible idea. I am not supposed to be here. A man spotted me from the corner of his eye, and my heart began to race. "They've arrived," he shouted to his companions. With a generous wave and a warm smile, he said to me, "Why, hello there. You must be new. My name is Sam. We have been waiting for you. Here is a seat by me." He flipped over a bucket and beckoned for me to join them. I sat down, offered him a cup of soup, and we broke bread together. So who exactly was the goat and the sheep in this story? Also, who was the person in need? Was I a goat for my prejudice and fear about Sam and his companions? Was Sam a goat for his supposed criminal background? Was I the sheep for bringing soup to Sam who was hungry and thirsty? Or was Sam the sheep because he welcomed me, the stranger? What I learned that night is that the world cannot be so neatly divided. We can't be divided between sheep and goats, the good and the bad, the have and the have-nots. There are two main fundamental affirmations in Scripture about God: that God loves and that God judges. In Scripture, we are consistently asked to share in God's love. But we are also consistently warned against trying to take on the role of judge. As it says in today's parable, it is not we who are charged with dividing sheep and goats. That is Christ's to do. People are often confused about that. We assume that as followers of Christ, we are to make such distinctions ourselves. But the point is that only Christ can do that. And only then, at the end of history, is he put in that role. Just as it is not our job to categorize other people into distinctive categories, it's not our job to place ourselves into one group or the other. Our life experience reveals that our own lives and behaviors often contain contradictions. We each have sheep and goats within us. Someone at the Faith and Life Forum last Sunday astutely observed, often there's a difference between the beliefs that we espouse on Sunday morning and the priorities and goals that we use to guide our actions during the rest of the week. The morals we speak of at church might not so easily translate into how we act in the classroom, in the boardroom, or around the dining room table. Barbara Brown Taylor calls this our behavior when we don't think God is around. Just as we cannot easily see others as sheep and goats, we cannot see the sheep and goats within ourselves. One aspect of this passage that often gets overlooked, but I think very important to remember, is that both the sheep and the goats are surprised by their eternal fate. The goats have just as much difficulty recognizing their sins as the sheep have recognizing their virtue. We are mostly divided people, with the right foot moving left and the left foot moving right. I think Mr. Rogers was on to something unnervingly honest and true when he said, "The very same people who are good sometimes are the very same people who are bad sometimes." We each have moments when we can demonstrate our tremendous capacity for love, gratitude, and forgiveness. But we also have our moments when we fall short, when we make mistakes, when we don't follow God's commandment to love our neighbors. This is part of the human condition. None of us are perfect all of the time. And just as when we have moments when we are the sheep and when we are the goats, we also have those moments when we are the ones who are lost and suffering. The hungry, the poor, the lost, the naked, the thirsty, they're all around us. In our families, among our friends, living as neighbors, strangers, our enemies, even ourselves. God is seeking to reach each one of us. And when we recognize this activity, we are responsible for joining God in the healing that God intends for each one of us. Jesus challenges our dichotomous tendencies to divide the world into right and wrong, black and white, good and bad. He also blurs our linear notion of time, of the past, the present, and the future. He greatly shortens the distance between today and the end of times, the distance between the realms of the spiritual and the profane. In this apocalyptic scene, Jesus shows us that a huge dramatic event where all of the nations, all of the angels, the Son of Man coming in the glory and sitting on a throne, we might say that he draws not our focus upwards, but downwards. Down to the very thing, the down-to-earth thing that he did throughout his entire teaching ministry. He noticed people in their need and he responded. I love what T. Denise Anderson has to say about this parable. Perhaps the most curious thing in any of these readings is that the sheep actually have some say in whether or not they are the sheep. And interestingly enough, they live into their sheephood, new word, by ostensibly caring for the shepherd. What a shift in dynamics. I suppose there is an inherent partnership between farmers and the animals in their care. The farmer cares for the animals and in turn gets milk, wool, even meat from them. But the partnership here is different. The acting shepherd doesn't need the sheep for provision. The way the sheep care for the shepherd is by caring for one another, and in doing so, they proclaim who their shepherd is. Sheephood is a condition of the heart, not a matter of circumstance. Although it is Christ's work to divide the goats from the sheep, it doesn't mean that we are just off the hook yet. He gives us a very important, very vital role to play in this story. For Jesus tells us that how we treat those the least among us today speaks for how we care for God eternally. The one who comes is also the one who is here among us. When we care for the vulnerable, we are implicitly caring for God. God feels the pain of the vulnerable and the joy of their restoration to wholeness. We love the Creator by loving the creatures. It is as simple and as hard as that. There is no dichotomy between loving God and loving one another. For the love of God and the love of humanity are one. And that is a love supreme. Amen.
Please stand as you are able to sing the closing hymn, "We Plow the Fields and Scatter," number 79 in your hymnal, number 79.
May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord grant you peace. And the gathered people said, Amen. Amen.